Good evening, Rabbosai. Tonight's topic is hopefully not so nogela maisa, certainly not on the receiving end, if anything on the donating end. It's the halach is a bone marrow and kidney donation, and if there is a distinction between them, what the distinction would be. And this is built a little bit on our discussion last week of blood and bone marrow donation, but we're going to take it a step further. To start off, we're really going to start with the primary source that is brought to discuss this topic,
I'm sorry.
And that is a well-known Radvaz. You'll see in a moment why I'm saying that it's a well-known Radvaz. The Radvaz raises a question that sounds almost scarily similar to a Shakespearean novel called The Merchant of Venice. So if you know The Merchant of Venice, there's a story about cutting off a pound or two of flesh. And that was sort of the question that Advaz was asked. So Advaz was asked the following question. I don't know if it was a true question or a composed question. Somebody said to a Jew, I will kill your friend. However, if you allow me to cut off a limb of yours, then I will not kill your friend. So that's the question. Does the listener, the Jew, who hears that my friend is going to be killed, do I have to therefore be willing to give up my pinky, my left ear, my right finger, my foot, so as to save my friend's life? On one hand, you'd say, well, a pinky's a pinky, a foot's a foot, but a life is a lot more. The only problem is it's his life and it's my pinky. So do I have to give my pinky for his life? That's the question. As you can imagine, this kind of question got a lot of attention. And all the poskim would deal with this question, he was the first one to raise the shayla. What we really were dealing with is cutting off something of mine to save somebody else. If you think of what a transplant is, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm going to cut out of you one of your limbs so I could save somebody else's life. Not because otherwise I'll kill the other guy, but otherwise kidney disease, renal failure will kill the other fellow. So do I have to give or am I allowed to give? Three possibilities. It's either a chiyuv for me to give my kidney or give my bone marrow to save somebody else's life. Or maybe it's an isser for me to do it, or maybe it's a reshus, something in the middle. That's what our goal tonight is going to be to figure out. So if you want to look at the shayla, you're welcome to look at the italics in the first three lines. I'm going to skip to the fourth line. The Radvaz suggests that there's a kal vachomer, or at least the questioner who asked him this question suggests that we have a kal vachomer. I'll tell you the kal vachomer outside. Kal vachomer goes like this. What's the halacha of being mechal Shabbos to save a limb? Let's say a person's hearing is at stake, unless they're mechal Shabbos midoraisa, they drive to the hospital. There's no fire department to call, there's no car service to call. It's either a Jew drives on Shabbos, violates an issa doraisa, or the person loses his sight. Or the person loses a limb, a finger is severed. Fingers cut off. And the only way to save it is if a Jew drives to the hospital on Shabbos. So what's the halacha? So we did give a shiur about this once a year or two ago. We're not going to get into the sugya in depth, but the Radvaz assumes that you would not be allowed to violate an issa d'oraisa. So now let's think for a second. That means that Shabbos does not knock off the value of a limb. If I have to choose between a limb and Shabbos, I'd rather keep Shabbos than lose a limb. Now, let me ask you a separate question. Pikuach nefesh. What's more important, Shabbos or pikuach nefesh? Of course, pikuach nefesh is more valuable than Shabbos. So now, listen to this mathematical formulation. You ready, Rabbi Bloom? This is for you. Mr. Bloom. If pikuach nefesh, which is greater than Shabbos, and Shabbos, we said a moment ago, is more severe than saving a limb, so if A is greater than B and B is greater than C. I'll say that again. Pikuach nefesh is doche Shabbos. And Shabbos has to be kept and not to save in order to, and at the risk of losing a limb, then certainly pikuach nefesh is greater than saving a limb. Look at my hands. If pikuach nefesh is greater than Shabbos and Shabbos is greater than saving a limb, certainly pikuach nefesh is greater than saving a limb. So it sounds from that mathematical, calculation, it should come out as a kal vachomer, that if for Shabbos is more important to keep than saving a limb. Certainly, Pikuach Nefesh, which is Docha Shabbos, is more important to consider than saving a limb. So if that's the case, I should have to give up my limb for somebody else's to save somebody else's life. That's the Kal V'Chomer that was suggested to the Radvaz. It's an interesting type of Kal V'Chomer. So Radvaz has five critiques to suggest why, no, you don't have to give up your limb. You're not obligated to give up your limb to save somebody else's life. And we'll go through them one at a time. I have five bulleted points. Each one has its own reason. He says, to introduce these five bulleted points, Tshuva, Zumidas, this is the Radvaz, Chelekimel, Simon Tav Reish Chav Vav, Chatav Reish Chav Zayin, or in the new volumes, it's Elef Nun Beis, 1052. So by the five, he says, before the five dots, it is a Midas Chasidus. That which you're suggesting might be obligatory as a Kal V'Chomer. No. It's just a Midas Chasidus. If you want to give up a limb, you're welcome to, but certainly not obligated to. And I'll show you. Number one, he says that the Kal V'Chomer is different. When the case of a Kal V'Chomer is, you have to give up, you have to keep Shabbos so as not to give up your own limb. But to give up your limb for somebody else's pikuach nefesh, that you don't see. For your own life, okay, my own pikuach nefesh will be docha my own limb. But for somebody else's pikuach nefesh to be docha my limb, that you don't see. That's number one. Second bulleted point. He says, what do you mean that you're just going to chop off a limb to save somebody's life? Right? The Inquisitor. Thank you. Not the Crusades. The Inquisitor in the Inquisition, right? Torquemada, the Inquisitor. The Inquisitor says, I'm going to chop off your, let's pick a limb. Let's pick off your right thumb, your left thumb. Let's not get into, I don't want to lose your right thumb. You're going to lose your left thumb to save somebody else's life. Well, losing your left thumb is not just a matter of losing your left thumb. What happens if a part of your body is cut off? Most of the time you bleed. If the bleed is not controlled, then theoretically you could bleed to death. So you're saying that maybe I should give up my thumb to save somebody else's life, but by doing so I'm putting my own, not just my thumb at risk, I'm putting nothing less than my own life at risk. And he brings a story, just in case you're saying that you're not going to die from cutting off a thumb. He says, I once heard a story I once saw somebody, that they cut his ear. And we know the ear doesn't have much blood at all. They cut his ear with a bunch of small cuts, and he didn't stop bleeding from his ear until he died from blood loss for the cuts to his ear. So maybe we are concerned that you think you're just giving call it a limb or call it a kidney or call it bone marrow, but it's possible that a person could die from it. Furthermore, and this is one of my favorite suggestions, the third bullet point, de'ein onshim din kal v'chomer. We know that we do not use a kal v'chomer to apply capital punishment. So if this whole rationale, that you have to give up your life, is based on a kal v'chomer, you have to give up your aver based on a kal v'chomer, but kal v'chomers can't be used. They could be used for all kinds, to be mechayev you to do a mitzvah. They could be used for other things. But a kal v'chomer cannot be used for causing somebody to get capital punishment. Like malkos. We don't use a kal v'chomer to give malkos. So if you don't use a kal v'chomer to give malkos, you certainly shouldn't use a kal v'chomer to give up a kidney or a left pinky or an ear. Because what did we say the kal v'chomer was? The kal v'chomer, Rabbi Rabinowitz, you ready? The Kal V'Chomer is, if Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, and Shabbos is more chomer than saving a limb, so certainly Pikuach Nefesh of Yenim is Docha, saving your own limb. That was the Shaila to the Radvaz. The Radvaz is saying that that's a Kal V'Chomer that should say that Pikuach Nefesh of somebody else is Docha, your limb, but that's a Kal V'Chomer. We don't use the Kal V'Chomers to cause capital punishment. And therefore, you shouldn't have to give up your limb based on Kal V'Chomer. It's logical, but this logic isn't sufficient for capital punishment.
The probability of it happening, let's say it's a 0.01% probability that bisakona.
So you're not talking about this. Suggest you're talking about the previous point. You're talking about the point that maybe cutting off a finger will cause somebody to lose their life.
I'm saying maybe the 0.01% is a very
right.
Small.
So on that svara,
don't take into consideration.
So on that svara, you're saying what's the threshold of danger?
Right.
That you have to be concerned that maybe, like, we're going to talk about that later. Oh. Yeah, the Ravadi Yosef raises your point. We'll talk about that later.
I heard a story where somebody's son had hearing he had a hearing problem on Shabbos. He had an ache, and he didn't want to take him to the hospital because it was Shabbos. And it turns out that the son lost his hearing as a result of not going to the hospital. And they said that the father did wrong. He should have taken him to the hospital.
Well, what you just described didn't really show that the father did wrong. He might have done wrong for a different reason.
Why?
If he lost his hearing because of not violating Shabbos midaraisa, that was correct. The reason why, because we paskin, most paskin pass, that you don't break Shabbos on a daraisa level in order to save hearing. Hearing is like a limb, and typically you don't give up Shabbos daraisa to save a limb. However, you're allowed to break Shabbos darabanan. You could pick up a phone and call a non-Jewish ambulance. But more fundamentally, the reason why the father is wrong is because if there's a concern for somebody's hearing, we have to be worried that something much more significant than just a hearing loss. There might be some aneurysm, God forbid. There might be some brain hemorrhaging. There might be something more significant that is docha, that is pikuach nefesh. That's why the father was wrong. That he should realize that there's some danger here, and you have to be worried that maybe there's threat to life, and that would warrant him driving to the hospital. So if we know, if a doctor says, you have an ENT man, and he checks the guy's ear, and he says, if you don't go to the hospital now, he'll be totally fine, except his hearing will be lost. You're not allowed to drive to the hospital, according to most poskim. Yeah. I ask a guy to drive, that's totally fine. And that's what we would do. We would pick up the phone, which is an Issur Drabanan, presumably, and we'd ask a guy to, we'd call a car service, or again, if you don't know what it is, then you call Hatzalah, and you drive to the hospital, because it might be a threat to life. But if a doctor, a doctor who knows and who's trustworthy, says there is no risk to life whatsoever, I've checked him out, there's just a hearing issue and nothing more. There's no meningitis, there's no infection, there's no inflammation, there's no hemorrhaging, there's no nothing else, which usually doctors can't say because you have to do an MRI or something to
this
check that.
This will affect the child's life forever? Be a deaf person?
That's right. That shows you the magnitude of what Shabbos is.
It is hard to believe.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to accept that.
I hear that. I don't blame you.
I don't blame you.
We have a shiur. We have a shiur and we gave less. I don't want to stop now, but okay. I'm happy to share my shiur on that.
That's very seldom. Very rare.
Right. Practically, it's almost never. Practically, it never really happens because whenever you have this concern, we're always concerned there might be a threat to life. So it's really a theoretical question, not a practical question. If you're ever concerned that somebody might lose their any use of any limb, you always have to be aware that there's going to be a threat to life involved, and therefore you'll have to go to the hospital even if you have to drive. Unless, as I'm saying, if there's a doctor who's defined that there's nothing to be worried, that he did his scanning and did whatever he had to do again, which is very rare that you're going to have that unless you get to the hospital. That's the only case where it will really show up. So it's really a theoretical issue, not such a practical issue. Okay, next point. The next point is a fascinating svara. Rabosai, we're all familiar with the pasuk of the Torah, Petza tachas petza, kviyat tachas ayin. I'm sorry, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein. If I take out your eye, what do you do to me? Pay. Why? I thought the Torah says, if I knock out your eye, you have to knock out my eye. Isn't that what the Torah says? Ayin tachas ayin? So why did Chazal assume that ayin tachas ayin means really the price of an eye tachas ayin? So how does that change anything? Okay, that's not a typical case. Not a typical person. So the Radvaz here tells you the reason. Totally out of context, but he tells you the reason. You know the reason that he says? He says, because you and I know that if I took out your eye, if you want to take out my eye, I might die from it. And the Torah says, what do I have to give up? If I take out your eye, I have to take out?
Just the eye,
nothing more. Not the eye and my life, and I might lose my life for it. And therefore, Chazal saw in this pasuk of Ayin Tachas Ayin that it cannot mean an eye for an eye, because if you take out somebody's eye, they might die. I only took you out your eye, and we know I only took out your eye. Now you're going to try to take out my eye, which might end up being my eye plus my life. That there's no permission for. And therefore, the Radvaz, a fascinating insight into how Chazal saw it in the pasuk of Ayin Tachas Ayin. That's what the Radvaz suggests. And therefore, he says, clearly, if you see from the fact that you could take out somebody's eye and we're worried that that might cause a death, and that's the reason why Chazal had to understand ayin tachas ayin to mean payment and not actually removing of the eye, because that might involved dead. So clearly, I don't have to give up a life. I don't have to give up a limb of my own because that might lead to a death. That's the rationale of the Radvaz, another svara. And finally, and this is the most fascinating svara, and really, it needs the broad shoulders of the Radvaz to say a svara like this, because you and I we're not on the pay scale to say a svara like this. Look into the last bullet point, please. Says the Radvaz, finally, the Torah says, "Dichsiv dracheha drachei noam." The ways of the Torah are pleasant. It has to be that the laws of the dictates of the Torah have to make sense to us. That's pretty bold, doesn't it? Pretty bold. This is the Radvaz talking. It has to be that Mishpatei Torah have to match our intellect. How could we possibly think that a person should allow himself to blind his eyes or to cut off his hand or his foot so that somebody else won't die? To prevent my friend from dying, I should have to give up my hand or my foot? Drachei d'archei noam. Fascinating. You know what's most fascinating? Where's the pasuk drachei d'archei noam chol nasi v'aseh shalom?
Comes from the Mishlei.
It's not even a pasuk in Chumash.
It's Mishlei.
Yeah. So he's using a pasuk. It's not even a pasuk in Chumash to tell you that it can't be that you should have to give up your hand, your eye, your foot to save somebody else's life. And therefore concludes the Radvaz, and that's the most famous line. Now you understand why it's such a famous Radvaz, because this line, where he says, to give up a body part, it can't be that the Torah HaKadosh would obligate me to give up a piece of my body.
By the way, the Radak says about that pasuk, it has to do with leading a Torah life. He basically says it only has to do with, if you lead a Torah life, then Torah HaKadosh will. There's
okay.
No guarantee otherwise.
Okay, very good.
What about giving up a tooth?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
It's a great question, and it might be similar to bone marrow. The question is, does this svara that I would never have to give up a piece of me apply even to something that regenerates? Bone marrow regenerates in about 5 weeks. Blood
I think
120 days. Blood regenerates in 5 weeks. Blood regenerates in 36 days, just about 5 weeks, and for bone marrow it takes 120 days to regenerate. Thank you. So therefore, maybe you're not really giving up anything of yourself. You're just temporarily, giving it away for some of it, which will all come back to you 3-4 months later when it comes to bone marrow. So maybe we won't apply this logic, this rationale, d'rachei d'rachei noam. All the other stories might apply. There might be some tiny bit of risk, even if the risk is nearly zero, close to zero, then we could still argue, but there's some. Either way, because of these various svaras that the Radvaz puts forth, 3 or 4 very interesting rayas, he says, look at his conclusion, the last line of the Radvaz, Hilkach. Eini roet tamlet in zeh. I don't agree with your kavachomer, ela midas chasidus. I assume that this should only be a midas chasidus, to give up your hand or your eye or your limb for your friend so that he wouldn't be killed. If you're able to do it to save your friend's life, there's a very special place waiting for you in Gan Eden. However, if there's a suffix, then already it's a different story. Then it's not a midas chasidus, but then you're a chasid shota. Because a suffix of your life is more, a suffix danger to your life is more concerning than a vade danger to somebody else's life. This last line of the Radvaz is another reason why this Radvaz is world famous. Because he brings us into one of the very gigantic sugyas in the poskim that I mentioned last week with the attack on Uganda, with the attack of Operation Thunderbolt on Entebbe, where I told you Rav Avadia was asked by the Israeli government, could we send commandos to rescue the Air France hostages in Uganda? And the main part of that shaila is, could you put yourself in a suffix sakana to save somebody in a vade sakana? What's the Radvaz's psak on that very shaila in these last few words? He says that if you put yourself in a suffix sakana, that's a chasid shota. Even if your friend's in a vade sakana, you put yourself in a suffix sakana, that's a chasid shota. The question really is going to boil down to
every soldier.
Shas milchama might be different.
No, prevent the milchama. I mean, anything could happen in the world.
Okay. The question that we're going to have to evaluate is, everything I could define as a sakana. Crossing the street is dangerous. I shouldn't cross the street to help somebody who's about to, somebody just got knocked out, you know, is bleeding to death. They just got into a car accident. They're bleeding to death. I don't want to cross the street. You know why? Because sometimes people cross the street, they get killed. Yeah? For every, you know, 7 million people across the street, one of them is going to get killed this year. And then I don't want to drive. I get a Hatzalah call. I don't want to drive to a Hatzalah call to save a life because every, 4 million miles that are driven, somebody gets killed in a car accident, God forbid. Obviously, that's absurd. If you could jump with me to a very incredible svara that I only saw in Rav Avadia Yosef, on the bottom of page 5, where the Rav Avadia Yosef deals with this very compelling shita and svara of the Radvaz. And by the way, Rav Avadia goes through, we're not going to go through the whole tshuva, but he goes through many, 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 many Rishonim and Achronim who all take different sides of the fence regarding are you permitted or obligated to put yourself in a safek sakana to save somebody else from a valei sakana. So he puts all the shittas out, as he always does, and I underline a few of the conclusion in the middle of source 5. Lehalacha, in the middle of source 5, lehalacha is kimurov Achronim, the majority of Achronim hold she'ein ha'adam rasha. You're not permitted to put yourself in a safek sakana in order to save your friend from a valei sakana. But the question is, we have to figure out what is that that level of suffix sakana that you're putting yourself into. Now let's look at a very important paragraph on the bottom of page 5. He says, what's the issue with kidney transplants? And he quoted a number of tshuvas. He quoted the Tzitz Eliezer and Dayan Weiss and Minchas Yitzchak, who heard from the doctors that kidney transplants are terribly dangerous. And if you donate a kidney, again, this is going back, could be going back 30 years. I don't know when these tshuvas were written. Could be back 30 years. And it could be that donating a kidney 30 years ago was quite dangerous. It happens to be that nowadays kidney transplants are, people who donate kidneys have a higher expected life rate than other people because, first of all, there's follow-up care that's better than anybody else. And also, they're put on the top of the list. If they ever need a kidney, they are number one on the list automatically. They don't ever have to wait for a kidney. So it happens to be that the numbers now are very compelling that those who are kidney donors actually end up being healthier and living longer than people who didn't donate a kidney. As fascinating as it is, studies do demonstrate that to be the statistic. You could look it up yourself. Besides that, nowadays, especially with arthroscopic surgery, did I pronounce that correctly? Arthroscopic surgery, thank you. The risks in terms of infection, in terms of follow-up issues are minimal, and the rate of problems after kidney transplants are exceedingly, exceedingly low. Exceedingly low. The incision is much smaller.
Oh, it's laparoscopic.
Laparoscopic. Thank you. I apologize.
Laparoscopic for knees, no?
No.
Okay.
Joints.
Fine. Okay, laparoscopic surgery. Okay. Look at the bottom of... So the question that we really have to figure out right now is how much, when the Radvaz says, you don't have to put yourself in sakana to save somebody else, what does that mean? That means you don't have to cross the street? That can't be. You know why it can't be? Who knows why it can't be? That it can't be any sakana, that you don't have to put yourself in any sakana to save another Jew in sakana.
You should never cross the street, ever.
So why can't, maybe that's true, maybe you should never cross the street, maybe you're not obligated to cross the street to save another Jew, because there is one in 7 million chance that you can get hit by a car when you cross the street. You all know the answer. What?
Be careful.
Better, you have to say that better.
Be very careful. Be super careful.
It's a Gemara that we mentioned last week, and you all know the Gemara. The Gemara says that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, lo samol d'adam riacha. What are the examples where you're obligated to meet d'oraisa with a los assay, meaning you have to give up all your money and exert an incredible amount of energy to do what? What are the examples the Gemara gives? To save somebody drowning in a river. Now, how are you supposed to save somebody who's drowning? Isn't the most obvious one to swim there? Exactly, there is some risk involved, and yet the Gemara says explicitly there's an issa mitzvah d'oraisa. What's the other example? The other two examples, anyone remember? Your friend is being ravaged by a lion. You don't think that by getting involved in protecting your friend from being ravaged by a lion, even if you throw a rock from 20 feet away, There's no risk to you? Yeah, there is. But it's a smaller risk. What's the third example? There are bandits who are attacking your friend. You have an mitzvah d'oraisa, an issur d'oraisa avlosa, silosam al damriacha, to stop him from being attacked. You think if a guy's held up by gunpoint, and you're standing 40 feet away, and you scream, "Get out of here, I'm going to call the cops on you." There's not a chance. You think there's no chance they're going to come after you and run after you with a gun?
They will.
Of course they will. There's a chance that they will, but it's a smaller risk. So you see that the lo samol adam riacha does involve risk. You do have to midoraisa put yourself at some level of risk to save somebody else. So how could the advice and the majority of the achronim say you don't have to put yourself at risk to save somebody else who's in danger? Let's look at this paragraph of Rav Avadi Yosef in Yechamed Das Chel Kimmel Simon Pei Dalet, the bottom paragraph of page 5. Says Rav Avadia, although maybe in the times of Dayan Weiss and the Tzitz Eliezer, the Datis told him that donating kidney is quite dangerous. I have to be honest, the Datis that I spoke to, or at least more modern, more contemporary doctors, says Rav Avadia, from doctors told me, the level of risk, the level of risk for a person who's donating, kilya is a kidney, torim is a donator, if somebody's giving it, is very small. It's a very small risk to donate a kidney. 99% of the donors resume to their return. We're not talking about bone marrow, we're talking about kidney donation. 99% of kidney donors return to their previous bill of health. This is the punchline. All that the poskim agree that we paskin like, that it's also to put yourself in a suffix sakana, that is a suffix hashakol, 50-50. That's the kind of case when you're sending commandos to Entebbe to save a hijacked plane. What's going to happen to them? They'll either succeed or they'll get shot down and killed. There, maybe yes, maybe no, but the hostages will definitely be killed. Then we say, safek ha-shokul, you don't have to, or maybe you're not even allowed to enter that kind of safek. Ma she'en kein, bottom line, benidon shalonu, in a case like a kidney donation, she'bevadai she'mitzvah hilitrom kedei l'hatzel chaver mimavis batuach. If he's going to die, now this is not so pasha. Somebody who has kidney failure, and they're on dialysis, well, if there's no dialysis, they will die, yes. But now we have dialysis, so it could be that they won't really die. You're just changing their quality of life, exactly. You're making, until now, they had to go to dialysis 2 or 3 times a week or 4 times a week for 4 hours or 6 hours a day, which is not a life. It's a very difficult situation. Again, you make the best of it if a person finds himself in that situation, but it's very difficult. And you're allowing them freedom to just... Now, it's true that I think with a new kidney, you do live 10 to 15 years longer than on dialysis. Is that called pikuach nefesh or not? That's a question not for me. But turn the page, please. Close to that. And he says, what's my proof? And he says that this Radvaz himself is the proof to what I'm saying. Because the Radvaz just said that you're not allowed to put yourself in a sakana to save somebody else. But you know what? Somewhere else, the Radvaz says something very different. The Radvaz, when he talks about... there's another advice. I don't know if it's the advice. I don't know the next line that I underlined, or there's some other advice where the advice says clearly that you do have to put yourself into a little bit of danger. So how could you reconcile the two advices? Clearly, the answer says Rav Avadia, it depends how much danger. To put yourself in 50-50, safek hashakol, okay, maybe it doesn't mean 50-50, mamish, 40-40, 60-60-40.
Where's the cutoff point?
Okay, I don't know where the cutoff point is. That's when you're not allowed to put yourself into a danger in order to save your friend. However, if it's something, and he's the proof that I said is from him, but you see from Lo Samal Damriach, of course there's a little bit of danger to save somebody who's drowning. Of course there's a little bit of danger to save somebody who's being attacked by animals. Of course there's a little bit of danger to save somebody who's being attacked by bandits. And yet, you're obligated, Mida Araisa, to save the person. So therefore, we have to look at the level of risk. Not just this, oh, is there a risk? There's risk to anything you want to do. Yes, there is risk to crossing the street. There's risk for a hatzalah to drive to the emergency. Yet we allow it. Not only do we allow it, we obligate somebody to save, to do those, to fulfill, to make sure that they don't let somebody else die. Elavadai, I underlined it, the last underlined part on the top of page 6. Elavadai shumechai bein safik shakul bein ktsas safik sakana. And therefore, the Rav Avadia says, certainly with the statistics that we have now, and it's a very convincing lamdas is very this is I don't know how you get out of this proof from Lo Samad Adam Riacha. I don't think there's a way to get out of that proof. He holds that therefore it is a mutter. It's mutter to donate a kidney. It's a mitzvah to donate a kidney. And he gives a bracha. Look at the last line. He doesn't say that it's a chiyuv. Litrom kilya achas mikli yosef latzalas chayiv shel adam. If somebody has renal failure and you're going to save their life, so it's clearly it's certainly mutter. It's even a mitzvah to do so. And he says a beautiful thing. Look at this beautiful last line that sometimes we don't think about. Sometimes we're always thinking about ourselves. I don't want to give up anything. 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 I don't want to endanger myself. I don't want to endanger myself. And it's true. But look what he says. That maybe the zechus of that mitzvah, which it certainly is a mitzvah, that itself is enough to give an added level of protection to the donor. Shomer mitzvah, la yeida davara.
Elef hamogi?
That's a quote of a pasuk. It's a quote from a pasuk.
What?
Now, that being said, that I think was the most geshmaka lumdus that I wanted to share with you tonight. I wanted to share two or three other points, regarding a different issue, and that is the Shevet HaLevi, in source number 2, talks about a case where, I don't know if he's talking, it sounds similar to the new model of bone marrow transplants, which I think is called PCBS. Is that what it's called? Where they don't suck anything out of the bones physically, but they just take blood. They give somebody a certain hormone, fibromyalgia, something like that.
They find stem cells in the bloodstream.
Yeah, they just give somebody, they pump somebody up with some hormones for 5 days, and then on the fifth day they run their blood through a machine. It goes out one arm through the machine, it goes back into the other arm, and they take out what they need, and that's necessary. So it's basically like a blood donation, but instead of taking the blood, they put it back into you. And they also do it with a lot of blood, not just with, one quart.
What they do with the cells that they get, they then stimulate them with a certain technique so that they reproduce.
Multiply. Uh-huh. Okay. So that is going to be very similar to what the Shevet HaLevi is about to speak about in source number 2. I think the Shevet HaLevi is talking about platelet donation. Platelet donation, plasma platelet donation, is also, if you have a certain type of blood, apparently I have that blood.
I think everybody can donate platelets.
I think certain donors, certain people could donate better. So they always ask me when I give blood, which I do once in a blue moon, would you like to do platelets? The problem is that I'm always pressed for time. It's hard enough for me to have time to give blood. Certainly not. Platelet donations take 3 times long. It takes like an hour and a half because your blood has to go out. They have to filter it, do a little borer, and then put it back into you. And I just never have the time for that, so I don't choose that. But I think that's what he's talking about. So that's the question. We don't have to go through the question. Look at the top of page 4. So he quotes the Beis Yosef, who quoted a Yushalmi, which we saw last week, that you do have to put yourself into Safek Sakana to save yourself from Vadei Sakana. But he points out, like we saw last week, that the Shulchan Aruch omits that Yushalmi. The Rishonim, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch, don't bring that you have to put yourself into Safek Sakana, and again, assuming that you don't have to put yourself into Safek Sakana. Fine. And he quotes the Radvaz, of course, that you don't put yourself into Safek Sakana. But he says that if something would not be a Sakana, then it would be a Midas Chasidus. So if something is, if there's no Sakana, then it would be a Midas Chesidus to do so. But the Shevet HaLevi is medayik that you're not Chayev Midhadin. And I think that was probably what you had heard from Shul Kamenetsky about such a Shaila, that a person is not obligated. This is the Shevet HaLevi. The Advaz says, if it's a Sakana, then the Advaz concludes, you're Chasid Shota. That means what he said earlier, the line earlier, the earlier part of the Advaz, when it's a Midas Chasidus, that is obviously not talking about a Safek Sakana, that's when there's no Safek Sakana. So when there's no Safek Sakana, even then the Radvaz only says it's a proper thing to do, but it's not obligatory. That's the Shevet HaLevi's conclusion, that if it's something like where you have to give up a body part where there's no Sakana, then if there is a Sakana, don't. If there is a Sakana, then if there's no Sakana, I'm sorry, then it's a Midas Chasidus. But if they want to take out some blood, If they want to donate blood, that he says you're in a place where they need it. That the Shea Talevi says, even I hold is a chiyuv to donate that blood. And therefore he comes out with the question, what's between, on one hand you have donating blood on one hand, on the other hand you have giving a piece of your body, which is a midas chassid. There's giving blood, you're mechuyiv too if it's necessary, if your blood is necessary. Donating a piece of your body, if there's no sakana, you're allowed to, it's a midas chassid. What about something in the middle, which is taking out all your blood in a way that they take out all your blood and put it back into your body? And that he says he's not sure about. That he says he's not sure about. That's the conclusion of the Shevet HaLevi. Now, all of these issues didn't really even, we didn't even mention a Shiloh that Ramosha focuses on. Ramosha was asked a Shiloh with a little bit of a twist. Ramosha's Shiloh was, in Yigus Moshe Chashemesh Bar Chelik Aleph Simon Kuf Kimel, source number 3, sometimes I get emails from the New York Blood Bank saying that you, if you donate blood, we'll give you a Mets ticket, which doesn't help because I'm a Yankees fan, right? We'll give you a sweatshirt. We'll give you a Mets fan or a Yankees fan? Yankees? Okay, good. So you don't have to give blood. They only want to, you only get Mets tickets. It's not worth it. Sweatshirts and all kinds of other gift cards. I think it might be, I don't know for sure, but I think it's because it's illegal to pay money for body parts. And blood is like a body part. I'm not sure if it's... So bone marrow, I think, was a shiloh, if it has the same din or not. They might, yes, be able to pay for bone marrow because it regenerates, so it might not be in the isser of selling organs or marketing organs. Might be a little bit different. So emotionary is a totally different issue. If I want to make, let's say they say, we're low on blood supply, we'll give $50, right? Because the New York Blood Bank is going to sell it for $200. They're going to bill the insurance $200 for a blood transfusion. So they're very happy to pay a donor $50 to donate blood because they're going to make much more back when from the insurance companies. So am I allowed to donate blood to make $50? I mean, you see how the shiloh was asked. That's the shiloh that was asked. So Moshe says, wait a second. What about a totally different issue? What about chavala? Oh, we never thought about chavala.
What's
that? Chavala. Injuring yourself. Oh. Are you allowed to purposely injure yourself? Are you allowed to are you allowed to give me permission to punch you in the arm and give you a black and blue mark? Now this is very important when you talk to when you're fighting with your kids or wrestling with your kids or playing around with your kids, and you have to be very careful. If they give you a black and blue mark, they're chayav misa daraisa. So it's important when you play around with your kids that they should be aware of that. But even if two brothers are playing with each other, where everything is fair game, right? They have to remember that even there's an isa daraisa. Okay, it's not chayav misa, but there's an isa daraisa of pen yosef not causing chaval a black and blue mark on a brother or on a friend. You know, I remember when I was in elementary school, there's something called punch buggy. Punch, but whenever you saw a Volkswagen Beetle, you give your friend a punch as hard as you can in the arm and say, punch buggy blue, punch buggy green. I don't know, that was how things were when I was in elementary school, you know? People okay. What?
Yes.
Even, yeah, really? That back in the 30s it was like that too? So there, there's Nisa Daraisa, Mamish says. What? Got it. So there, there's an issa daraisa. So the Ramosha says that theoretically should be an issa because we paskin that, like the Rambam writes, that you're not allowed to give permission to somebody else to cause you an injury. Which raises the whole question: what about elective surgery? Which raises the question: what about boxing? Which raises the question: what about playing? What's it called?
Paintball.
Playing paintball is a gigantic machloka, raging machloka rishonim, could be an issa daraisa. Oh, by playing paintball, you're letting somebody shoot you with a paint bullet, which does cause black and blue marks. What? The double compass is also daraisa, based on this Rambam. Yeah, okay.
Football could cause it, no?
Football, it's not...
You hit the face sometimes.
Football is like a double shenemis kavein. That's not the goal. But here, the goal is to inflict pain and injury.
So why did they do it? Why did they allow it?
That shouldn't be allowed at all, for sure.
Hoping to hit someone else.
That's part of the excitement. Boxing also.
Yeah, but in Jewish camps, they have the paint war, but they don't have boxing.
They have, I don't know, I'm not saying it's mutter. So therefore, if Ramosha has a fascinating conclusion. When he talks about giving blood, you'd think he'd say, he'd like wave a flag and say, mutter, mitzvah, gamar, lechatchila. He's very careful about what he says, because look what he says. I mean, he's talking about a case where you don't know that the blood's going to go. He's very careful how he says this. To somebody for whom you would be Mechalel Shabbos. You understand what I mean? I don't want to be more specific than that. We're being taped. He says, what's the law? We have to be worried. If it's, my blood is going to go to save a life for somebody whom you'd be Mechalel Shabbos for, of course you could be Mechalel. Of course you should give blood for that. But you don't know if the blood that you're donating is going to go to somebody for whom you're going to allow to be Mechalel Shabbos. You understand what that means? It could mean a lot of things. Maybe somebody has a cold or something like that, or something different. So look how he concludes right before the source number four. He says, a line and a half before number four. Lachain efshir ein le'esor b'chavala zu. Maybe you don't have to be, it's not going to be asir b'chavala. And if you want to be make of arot zelhakal, ein le'mechos bo. You don't have to be mochan him. It doesn't say like, yeah, give blood, which is interesting. He says, there's probably room to be make for giving blood. Again, he's talking about someone who wants to do it for the money. Also, I wonder, in New York, where the number of recipients for whom you are Mechalel Shabbos is very significant. I wonder if that would change the situation. Now, Reb Moshe Sturbach in source number four talks about bone marrow transplants. And he says again, it's a proper thing to do, but we can't obligate somebody to do it. And he says, it's such a proper thing to do that even if it means you're going to miss davening, and you're going to miss davening for a few days, that's also fine. And even if it goes to somebody that you're not mecha, that his dino ka'akum, that for somebody who's intermarried also, no problem, still would be proper to do in all those situations. I want to finish off with an interesting piece from the Nishmas Avraham, source number six. And the Nishmas Avraham quotes from Shlomo Zalman, not to question whether it's mutter or not to give mutter to give bone marrow, to do bone marrow transplants. That we sort of clarify that it is at least, it's certainly mutter, it's probably, it's the proper thing to do. The question is, are you mechuyuv to? That would be a question if you're mechuyuv to. But the question is, could you force somebody? Could you force somebody to do it? Meaning, if the government of Israel would be al pi halacha, and there's a person who they feel, the doctors, the Israeli Surgeon General says, somebody's going to die if he doesn't get a bone marrow transplant, and they have identified a yid somewhere in Bnei Brak, in Mea Shearim, as the only one donor. And he says, I don't want to. Could the Israeli God, could halacha, could force such a person to do so? Al pi halacha. That was the shaila. So says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, you can't force somebody. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, Tzrichim lehasbir lo, sheyesh lo, I'm in the last source in the cutout source. Tzrichim lehasbir lo, on page number six, the first paragraph of the cut and pasted piece. Tzrichim lehasbir lo sheyesh alav mitzvah, that he has a mitzvah to do it. And if the chance for saving the person is greater than 50%, you have to beg him and levakesh mimenu lehischazek, to be strong, lekayim mitzvah gedol shepiguach nefesh. But you're not allowed to force him. You're not allowed to force him psychologically either. Afil lachatz psychologi. You can't use social forcing him socially, nor psychological forcing him to force him to give if the person has a fear. But if it's just a matter of he doesn't want to go through the pain, then it could be that you would force him to suffer the pain if it's a matter of him being able to save a life that others can't. That's Shlomo Zalman's conclusion in Nishmas Avraham, Eben Ezer, Pei Aleph. So we see that the issue at hand is a very complex issue. The stakes are very real. These shilas are real, real shilas. These are shilas that happen, that come to people in our shul. Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, who is a Rav, an incredible, one of the greatest Marbitzei Torah of our generation, as funny as it sounds. I believe he has 500,000 hits for his shiurim on YU Torah. One of the greatest Marbitzei shiurim in the world. Right now, he lives in North Windermere. He's younger than me, and you know him because he was the assistant rabbi of this shul.
Who's that?
Rabbi Arye Leibowitz from the Beis Knesset North of Brooklyn, he donated a kidney. He's a kidney donor. He was assistant rabbi here, that's right. He donated a kidney, and he's very happy to talk to people about it. I know in Yeshiva, there are a number of people who donated kidneys in YU with the encouragement of the postgim in the Yeshiva. I know Renewal is very into encouraging this. And they're very real shilas, and they're very real opportunities. And we see that as far as halacha is concerned, that there might be a difference between blood, which might be more of a chiyuv, and bone marrow, which might be less of a chiyuv, and the kidney, which might be certainly less of a chiyuv. But if a person could gird themselves with a chizuk to think about the different aspects, it's certainly worthwhile to consider very strongly. And of course, as Rav Avadya says, to consider the nature of the safek, that not all sfekos, not all pikuach, safek pikuach nefesh are created equal. There's safek hashakol, and there's things that are very low safek, and that might not rise to the same level of safek that the Rav was speaking.
The last thing you said, you can't force the person to get his bone.